Good morning. My father was not a drunk or a womanizer. Every night he came home from work and had dinner with us, my mother, my sister, and me. Afterwards, he went into the den and sat down at his desk, the desk with its multitude of cubby holes and drawers and papers, and finished the work he hadn't completed at the office. The rest of the evening, we didn't see him. I cannot recall a single time when he took me out to the backyard to practice batting a baseball or to shoot some hoops. He was not an unkind or abusive man. I think he just didn't know how to be a father. He was physically present and at the same time far away in a dark and distant land whose geography I could not fathom. With shame, I remember the angry words I flung at him like shards of broken glass. In time, we forgave each other. I understood how much alike we were. And I also realized that he had done the best that he could. And so love goes. Many of us get the love we need. Many of us are left with half love or fragmentary love or futile regrets for the love we could not give in return. It would be too easy to be bitter and sarcastic about love. We don't have time for that kind of insincerity and posturing. Love is too vital and too serious to be treated that way. As serious as the beauty of the full moon when it eases over the treetops into the night sky, as serious as a bomb exploding in the midst of a group of our soldiers as they patrol the streets of Baghdad. Can we rediscover love, forget the poisonous lessons of bad experience, and become unknowing? How do we cut through all of the sentimental nonsense, the platitudes, and the unexamined received truths? If we are going to get this right, and yes, we can get this right, then we will need to start over and trace through this a step at a time. And where do we begin? Right here at home, with ourselves, with acceptance. Acceptance of all that we are, the good, the bad, the ugly, the boring, the admirable, the talented, the funny, the wretched, the unfinished, the beautiful, the lazy, the profound, the slapstick. To survey the full panoramic sweep of our humanity, as flawed, angelic, and mysterious as it is. And with practice, our gaze can become steady, and it will all become more familiar, the entire psychic terrain. We do this not for shame or self-loathing or pride of accomplishment. We do this for knowledge and in order to take the next step, compassion. When will we stop expecting the impossible from ourselves? All of the should-haves and ought-tos and why didn't I know and how could I have done such a thing? We are, after all, human. We make mistakes. We fail. We stumble. The tragedy is that we never have quite all the information we need before we act. How can we? We aren't God. That is why compassion is such a powerful force. In the words of a Buddhist saying, our sorrows and wounds are healed only when we touch them with compassion. In this journey to rediscover love, we must travel light and without the burden of the past. We can't carry with us the weight of all that has been left unresolved. What did I want from my father? To go back in time? To have the perfect childhood? What nonsense. We can't go back. And so the next step is forgiveness. Forgive and drop the weight from our shoulders. Forgive to uncloud our eyes of the past and to gain the clarity to see what the present and the future might be. Another Buddhist saying, no matter how difficult the past, we can always begin again today. Acceptance, compassion, and forgiveness prepare us for the next and possibly the most difficult step, which is humility. In the summer of 1999, Linda and I visited Zion National Park in southwest Utah. There I saw the handiwork of a creative force far beyond human comprehension. A gargantuan block of sandstone with wind and heat, cold and snow, rain and the diminutive Virgin River as chisels with a palette of thousands of colors and an infinitesimally leisurely pace of creation that stretched over hundreds of millions of years. Who was I or any of us in the face of this? That summer I learned what humility is. A sense of the true ratio of the human being to the universe. Humility is not groveling in the dirt or bootlicking. It is rather a readjustment, a resizing so that we stand in our true proportion to nature and the universe. And then, when we look up from our introversion, we see and we hear many familiar things around us. A few words overheard in the checkout line at Food Lion, a friend's latest risky romantic venture, a conversation at the next table in a restaurant, the body language of a colleague. We know these things. We've done these things. We've been there. And so we have arrived at the next step in our progress towards love. Empathy. Well, we could say, sister, I've been where you are. I know those tears. I know those endless nights when sleep cannot be found and you wonder if it will ever end. Brother, I too know the humiliation of being without a job in a society that defines you by what you do for a living. Brother, I can tell you that your humanity, your worth are not diminished one iota. Take heart. How easy then the next step? Love. Once we arrived, how natural, how graceful it is. Love as close as the palm of your hand. Not so foreign at all. Not so difficult to understand. Right here, with us, all the time. Now we see the importance of that first difficult step. We needed self-knowledge in order to mark all those places within ourselves that are points in common with the rest of humanity. In order to accept the full range of who we are, we needed compassion, forgiveness, and humility. Spiritual values which lead to empathy and love, values that we will need to rely on again and again. Now, whom do we love? There's nothing complicated about that. In the words of the Stephen Stills song, love the one you're with, right where you are, right now, wherever we happen to be. For us this morning, it's the people sitting around us, family members, old friends, newcomers. After we leave here, on the street, at the public library, in the classroom, the office, wherever we find people. And what do we do? As Mother Teresa said, small things with great love. Small things, a smile, a handshake, a hug, an invitation to go out for coffee and talk some more, a card, an email, exchanging books or CDs, offering a meal, a ride, a carefully attuned ear ready to listen. At a restaurant where I used to eat frequently some years ago, one of the waitresses told me that she liked waiting on me because I always thanked her for what she did. Is that an act of love or just good manners? Every act of love is an acknowledgement of the presence of another human being, a simple declaration of shared humanity. By saying thank you, she is no longer invisible or part of the wallpaper. She exists, she's human, like we are. Wallace is the tall African-American man working behind the meat counter at the Fresh Market. He's retired from the military and the post office, hair graying at the sides, quick and easy smile. Early on, Wallace and I sidestepped the typical impersonal customer-employee trap. One day I was in the store and I went by the meat counter. Wallace smiled and said, "What can I do for you?" And I responded, "Wallace, I don't need anything. I just came by to say hello." I reached over the counter, shook his hand. His face was beaming. It was as simple as that. I work at the College of William & Mary. I've been there for 20 years. Back in the mid-90s, a colleague and I decided to have our own Employee Appreciation Day for the three African-American women who work as housekeepers in our building. In their break room, we typed up a large banner that read, "We appreciate your hard work." We got each of them a bud vase and a rose and a card, and we bought and served them breakfast. The oldest of the three, his name was Novella, told us with tears in her eyes that she had worked at the college for 15 years and no one had ever done anything like that for her. How sad, how very, very sad. Not for Novella, but for the rest of us. What are we so busy doing all the time that we can't stop and see the world around us? With cell phone in one hand and the other hand on the steering wheel, where is it that we're rushing to? The world is all about us. Humanity is everywhere we turn. We become preoccupied by the dailiness of life and worn down with the emptiness of routine, yet we yearn for meaning, and there it is on every street corner, in the aisles of Home Depot, and at the soup kitchen. We might ask, what is the good of these small acts? Does any of it really amount to anything? When we start asking questions like that, we're wanting to play God again. It is not our mission to worry about outcomes. Leave that to God. Only she can pull all of the connections together and make things come out right. We're not capable of that. How do we know that those few words we spoke, the cards we sent, the time we spent listening, do not have an effect, perhaps a profound effect? I remember when I lived in Northern Virginia back in the early 80s. My car had just been totaled in an accident. Tow truck driver dropped me off at a gas station, and there I was, standing in front of a gas pump, not knowing how I was going to get home. Seemingly out of nowhere, a young man came up to me and offered me a ride home, which was miles out of his way. I discovered he was an evangelical Christian, and very much to his credit, not once did he try to push his beliefs on me. He was acting on his faith, helping a stranger. This happened 26 years ago. I've never forgotten his kindness or his example. Even with the most difficult of simple acts, the phone call, the letter to the daughter, the parent, the friend, the one from whom we've been estranged for years, the ones to whom we say, "I'm sorry, can't we try again?" The ones who might, well, reject all of our overtures. How do we know that we have not had an effect, have not made a crack in the wall of resistance, have not started a small revolution? We can't know. It's not for us to know. It is not our job. God will deal with that. And when we think about it, what an absolute blessing this is. Freed of worrying about and calculating results and returns on our love investments, we simply act spontaneously, doing or saying whatever seems appropriate or needed at that time for that person. All of our actions flowing from an inner wisdom we didn't know we possessed. Who would have thought when this journey began that taking the full spectrum of what we are, stirring and mixing every attribute like some alchemist of the soul, distilling and refining through compassion, forgiveness, humility, and empathy into some mystical essence that could flow just as surely through us as does our blood, an essence that informs with love every action we take, that we, so flawed, so imperfect, are capable of perfection in that spontaneous, unpremeditated act of love, leaving behind platitudes and received truths. What a visceral and transformative force it is, and all of it so close, right in the palm of our hand. Amen.